Good morning, MGTOW men. Yes, everything's... Everything's frosted up. And, we don't want to reverse back into a fucking tree. So I got the heater going, thawing the interior thawing the interior of the car out, and about to go see someone very important. Car is way overdue for a clean out. I've won with a lot of help from a lot of kind and decent people, a major victory. Now I've just got to stick to fucking, you know, now got to stick the fucking knife home and twist it, as it were. And, interesting things are happening. God, I fucking hate people that drive dark coloured vehicles. Black or really, really dark sort of graphite sort of grey, you know. There's fucking... You know what I like? I like new ideas, original thinking, and variety. And what fucking I really hate is just clones, you know? People who think the same, do the same, work, you know, fucking na 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 na. I'll just pause this fucking here. Hello. Good. What a big fucking day. Yeah, what I like is variety and what gets up my ass is all these fucking women. They're all dressed up to the nines and they got their tits and ass hanging out and they're fucking using heaps and heaps and heaps of filters, you know. And someone made the genuinely clever remark is that they're all doing cosplay as silicone dolls, you know. But, you know, I think there's uniqueness. There's enough sort of variety and uniqueness in just being as you are. Just, you know, have a wash occasionally, brush your hair, brush your teeth, you know. And basically you're pretty right, you know, clean clothes. In order to be really attractive as a woman, just be fucking tidy, you know. Fuck me. Now, all these glamour sluts, you know, all these fucking victims of their own stupidity and vanity and victims of the fashion industry and all this sort of shit, you know. Stop buying the bullshit, you know, think for your fucking selves. You know? I swear, about the most, this is not a strict sort of definition or anything, but like, you know, a woman who's clean and tidy, brushed her hair, brushed her teeth, has a wash occasionally, he's just wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and maybe a decent pair of fucking boots or something, you know. That's quite nice as is. But no, they've got to go. They've got to go out and get, you know, they spend thousands on getting their hair done and thousands on all their clothes and boots and shoes and handbags and fucking cake up and, you know, and then they get into prestige battles with other worthless fucking retarded sluts, you know. Oh, I've got a Pierre Cardin handbag. It's cost me $10,000. Well, I've got a Armani handbag and it's cost me $15,000. Well, I'm better than you. Ugh, you know. And those stupid sluts just don't fucking get it, you know. When I wrote the fucking, I wrote a book a while back, you might have heard of it, but it was a quote from the Bible that was put into the Year of the Quiet Son, you know, at the very start, and it went, windbags and liars, you know, they were vain and shallow people who worshipped, you know, windbags and liars, you know. Which is, I've also written that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, you know, so. Yeah. So what a great day. Yeah. But these fucking women that just buy, they spend, especially if it's the man's money, they just spend fucking endless amounts on being brain dead fucking stupid consumers, you know what I mean? Like Imelda Marcos, you know, she had 5,000, this worthless fucking bitch had 5,000 pairs of fucking shoes, you know? And she built a museum to put them all in, and because it's the Philippines with extremely high humidity, you know, after her and Ferdinand Marcos fled from the Philippines, you know, as political refugees or being US puppet government fucking bastards, what happened was the air conditioning on the museum broke down. It was never fixed, fuck whatever. So it didn't dehumidify the place. And being a tropical place with a lot of heat and a lot of humidity, all her 5,000 pairs of fabulously expensive fucking shoes just all went mouldy, you know. So there you go. And but all these fucking retarded old bags and their bloody, you know, spending $10,000 on a fucking handbag. And I support to a degree. There's domestic violence which actually serves a purpose, and there's domestic violence which is just pure nastiness, you know. But if I came home one day and she'd gone and spent $10,000 on a fucking handbag, I'd punch her fucking lights out and throw her out on the street, you know? Get out of here, you fucking brain-dead whore, you know? Fuck off. But that sort of stuff is like, you know? You'd sort of screen them for just being stupid shits in the first place, you know? So, 2,000 metres enclosed, 1,500 metres enclosing, huge truck. You know, what an incredible fucking waste of resources, you know? Yeah, so going back to that quote, you know, a vain and fucking... the vain and superficial people, and you know, they get off on windbag, you know, following the things of windbags and liars, you know. So yeah, well, they were a vain and rebellious people who followed the ways of the windbags and liars. And yeah, but one thing's, I, you know, I like variety, I like, you know, colour, I like diversity, but not in the you know, globo-homo shit. I just don't like fucking endless repetition, you know what I mean? Where it's the same shit day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, you know? And women are going, yeah, you know, the fucking, why do they all copy each other? God, I feel like Cappy Anonymous, you know? Fuck. Yes, keep our eyes on the road, especially when we're going into a corner that has the inside of it kind of obscuring traffic coming the other way by all the trees and shit, you know? So, I guess staring off into space. Oh, that was an intersection with the red light you just passed through. You know? What? The, so here we are in the area that has a signpost that says, beware the kangaroos. And the hippity-hoppity little bastards are fucking I don't actually hate them. I just sort of accept that they're, in some ways they're quite smart, and in some cases they're not that fucking smart at all. They're just sort of like, you know, logs floating down a river and running into a bridge or something, you know. And that's what they sort of do. They go, oh, car or truck or motorbike coming along the fucking road, and bang, into the fucking end of the fucking path of the fucking vehicle they go, you know. Oops. Come on, ducks. Good birds. So, yes, this morning is the day. The day of birds wandering along the road and not wanting to run them over. Here we are. There's two kangaroos there, small ones, just sort of sitting up in the long grass. In the place that I would sort of area that I would expect them to be sitting. Reminds me of there's a guy called John Treese who ran or still runs Harley Motor Engineering. And he had a buddy called started with S. Not Smurf or Swamp. I didn't like him. But there was a joke they had that some Hungarian guy, I think it was, or Middle Eastern guy, they were out driving around and they said, keep your eyes peeled. You know, meaning they look, keep an eye out for something. You know, and his remark was, I am peeling my eyes, which seemed to make perfect sense. Yeah, but you know, these fucking women in there got these huge big plastic claws on and they go, yeah, 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 yeah. Fuck, you know, and they all copy each other. I mean, there's, you know, and they sit there going, nag, 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 you know. And they're fucking just brainless cunts. This girl, who I went to school with, God, she was cut from the same cloth. Her name was Lisa. And she was a plump, fat fucking tart, you know, in a tight pants and a bloody big, big ass and belly and boobs, you know. And, she was a fucking expert on all the bullshit under the sun, you know. And in Victoria, which is the southernmost state of continental Australia, you know, the big mainland, well, she the state north of Victoria, it was like New South Wales. And Australia is mostly populated on the east coast. You know, you've got the sort of east coast of Australia, then you've got the Great Dividing Range down the, from the top of Australia down to the fucking bottom, you know, all running just off the east coast or along the east coast, you know. And that's where most of the rain tends to fall. And yeah, and everything sort of west of there, which is most of the continent, tends to be sort of either flooding or bone dry, you know. And yeah, so the state north of Victoria is a state called New South Wales. And I remember in the schoolyard, you know, we were sitting around, and I wasn't sort of really party to this because I didn't think it was terribly meaningful, but it was like, you know, God, in relation to my own scumbag antics, you know, yeah, there's a few sins there, but yeah, this check, she was telling us all that in Victoria, the homosexuals, how to tell a homosexual is that they have a earring in their left ear, you know. And in their right ear, and in New South Wales, it's the other way round. So that's how you tell homosexuals, you know. And that was a time when men getting your ears pierced was a fairly popular sort of thing, kind of, you know. Gold earring or something, you know what I mean? I think that, I don't know for certain, I don't pay much attention or mix with a lot of people, but, you know, that seems to have sort of fizzed out, you know. I don't know. Don't know fuck all about who gets piercings these days. But yeah, you know. So I'm not that interested in, yeah. But good old Lisa. She was, I ran into her online at the sort of preliminary undertakings of a school reunion, you know, for sort of all the people in that year. And I got sort of chatting to her on the line, and she hasn't changed. There's nothing interesting or good or worthwhile. There's nothing to say, you know. And the same fuckwit, there was a guy called Peter. Just a stupid cunt, you know, like you just spin round and smash me in the face, you know, just for being a stupid cunt, you know. And you know, and I asked her a few, I plied this chick with a few questions, and you know, and into my, see, so I can remember word for word conversations 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know. I can remember all sorts of things, you know. But the flip side is that, you know, there's plenty of other things where I've got no fucking memory at all, you know. And, you know, So, and that really, when people who like to play games with me try on their shit and I got a sort of fairly good recollection of everything that was said and done, it really fucking, and it's like 5 or 10 years later, they're just going, oh, fucking with the wrong guy here. And, but anyway, so, what a lovely morning. I can turn the fucking heater down. Car's nice and warm, the sun's up. Yes, we look into the corner. See if there's something coming the other way and we better stay in our lane. Or you might die. Having a bit of a scan of the fields, saying, oh, is there any kangaroos hopping around and sort of heading back towards the hilltops that I need to be aware of? Or I might die. Tomorrow. Yeah, so, you know, women that just do the same fucking stupid shit, they all copy, and if he says this and you do that, and, you know, the shit just goes on and on and on and on and on, and nothing fucking gets, just fucking, and so, you know, there's heaps of people on Big Chow TV who make lots of really brilliant content, but I find myself going, fuck, I mean, you know, you just look at these women and just go, Jesus fucking Christ, you know, fuck. And their real lessons in what to look out for, you know, what to sort of, how to pick. How to pick the fucking crazies and how to sort of move on from there, you know what I mean? Oh, what a nice third gear shift. Where's that evil truck? Yes, he's... I think he's a little bit underpowered. Because by maintaining my speed and just sort of accelerating like a... There's a fully loaded truck type acceleration with a sort of slightly small engine, you know. And someone who's not in a rush to burn up all the fuel and all this other sort of shit, you know, and to get there as quickly as possible. Well, caca over the rise. Here you go, mate. Oh, g'day, matey. Oh, g'day. Yeah. fucking women drivers. So yeah, that guy in the truck, if I'm going through the corners and pulling away from intersections and shit, not in a rushed way, but like in a way that sort of, I wouldn't call it going faster, but I wouldn't call it sort of, just sort of making, I wouldn't call it making haste, I'd call it making progress. Making progress. You got to, fuck, I miss that girlfriend, you know, that's girl and friend. She was fabulous, it was good. There we go, into the gravel. Hello. Don't you strip. Remember this comic where this, you know, just line type drawing, you know what I mean? And this old granny was crossing at a pedestrian crossing, and there was this big hairy biker on his Harley, you know? And she leans over and stares at him, "Don't you race your engine at me, young man." You know? Yeah. Fuck, there were some good comics in that magazine. It was, I think it was called Easy Rider magazine or something, you know. And I think it was a fair kind of, sort of reflected the lifestyles that people chose, you know. But I also think it was just, you know, you're this sort of a person, so what we're going to do is we're going to market our bullshit at you, convince you that this is the way and the truth and the light. Ah yes, the level crossings. When the sign says stop and look both ways to make sure there's no fucking train coming, you better believe it. Doesn't mean you've got a fair chance of just being able to fucking drive straight through, but you know. So like there's been crossing, level crossing crashes that, you know, Bobby's driving his kids home from school. You know? They're at the fucking almost unsigned. It's just a sort of an X type railway crossing. You know, there's no boom gates or nothing. Just slow down, train crossing ahead, you know? And I shall pull over in my favourite resting area. Well, this is one of the places that I pull over and have a piss and maybe a can of baked beans or something if I'm fucking hungry. And yeah, the gist of the situation is that here comes that truck. The gist of the situation is that Bobby's, you know, the 4 o'clock freight train that goes through there, it's a bit of a blind kind of, you come around the corner and then there's trees and all this sort of shit, you know. And then you're supposed to slow right down and look to the right and look to the left and look to the right again and look to the left again just to make doubly sure. And, gosh. They got a big load and they're just taking it easy. Nice day. And what goes on is that you know, the advertisement is that I'd like to show you my car, but it's filthy. Just shit, you know, I've got to go and make these trips and do shopping and all sorts of shit, and when I get back, I'm usually pretty fucked. And I just go inside and then forget about it, you know. But, you know, I was chatting with councillor of one, I think. And what I've worked out is that, all right, I can get a coffee like this. Big hands. Big. fuck, I won't go there. It's like, I put up the two audio books. One is called The Millionaire Mind and the other one is called The Millionaire Next Door. And this is not that sort of get rich fucking, you know. That's an analysis of the lives of people who are particularly capable in terms of financial management, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, and they divide them up into classes, like, you know, there are people who are income rich and asset poor, you know, and then there's people who are moderate sort of incomes, but they're sort of, they own sort of fuck all in assets, but they have a lot of banked sort of wealth, you know, and because sometimes I just flash over so much fucking information, it's like, whoa. Yeah, but anyway, they, as a for instance, like, people who are genuinely really sort of wealthy in a financial sense, they don't go and buy like a $200,000 brand new Mercedes. They go and buy a good quality used car with low mileage, and so instead of spending, say, $200,000 on a brand new car, they go spend $20,000 on a really good second-hand car, you know? And so what happens is, I'm going to, this is not meant to be high degrees of accuracy. This is mainly for the educational purposes. But if you buy a $200,000 brand new car, as soon as you wheel it out of the showroom dealers, it's lost, say, 25% or 30% of its resale value, off its purchase price, you know. So there you go, $200,000 minus, say, 30%, and that's like $65,000-$70,000, you know, second-hand, you know. Then over 5 years, you've got the total cost of ownership, which is all the servicing and maintenance and fucking, you know, you got to get it serviced at the dealer to so you don't void the warranty and all this other sort of bullshit, you know what I mean? And, you know, by their trained mechanics, you know. And, so the total cost of ownership is when you go to, you might spend, say, $5,000 a year in maintenance on that fucking thing, you know, tyres, brakes, servicing, you know, spares, fucking all this other shit, you know. So you get, that's $25,000, you know. I'm just making this up. I'm not meant to be sort of, I don't like to deceive, I don't like to lie, you know. I don't like to make shit up, but I'm just trying to represent the situation, you know. So, you know, so... So you wheel it out the show, $200,000 brand new, wheel it out the showroom door, you lose $30,000 or something off it, you know. You spend another, say, $20,000 in servicing it over 5 years, you know. And then when you go to resell it, you've lost, as a five-year-old second-hand car, you might lose, say, $40,000 or $50,000. So that brand new fucking car, after 5 years, it might be in sort of pristine sort of condition, but it's still, you've lost nearly, say, $80,000 on it, you know, from new to fucking old. So, oh, this fucking, these knives are good. So, the, so whereas the person who buys a good second-hand vehicle and spends $1,000 a year on servicing it, you know, twice a year or something like that, depending on their mileage and all this other sort of shit. So it cost them $20,000 for the car and another $5,000 in servicing and maintenance and parts and shit, you know, over 5 years. And they've spent $25,000 and they've got a really fucking good car. No problems, all this other sort of shit. And, you know, that's $25,000 all up. And insurance has cost fuck all, you know. Insurance and tax and all this other sort of stuff. So whereas a person who spends $200,000 a year for, you know, on a new car, or $200,000 on a new car, they've lost about $70,000 in 5 years just on the second-hand, down from new to second-hand value, resale value, you know. So there's the person who buys the good quality second-hand car is like $50,000-$60,000 in front, you know. So, don't know how I got into that, but yeah, what I was thinking is a cup of coffee like that nowadays in Australia is about $5.50, you know? And I thought, it's nice too. Coffee's one of those products, you know? But I was talking to Counselor of One, and what came out was that, you know, if you make up a mix of, say, two, not huge big teaspoons, but not big teaspoons themselves, but, and not hugely sort of heaped up, but say, two modestly sort of sized teaspoons of good instant coffee, and a heaped teaspoon of full cream milk powder, and maybe some kind of sweetener, you know, that you like, you know, you could make a cup of coffee like that, just, you know, like I've got a little stove, you know, on long trips, stopping for a cup of coffee once every now and then is really nice, because if I get tired and too much coffee in me, I would become irrational, you know, just, you know, when I'm tired and shitty and exhausted and I've fucking got coffee brain, you know. I wouldn't call myself homicidal, but I'd just go, fuck, I just don't want to be travelling. I'd rather just go for a sleep somewhere, you know. I don't want to be dealing with crazies. And, but, you know, you have it, like, it's like the average sort of person. They go, that they say they're working in the city and they go out for 2 coffees a day, you know, morning tea and lunch, and they buy a sandwich, which is like, say, $10 or $15 for a sandwich, you know. Well, that's $10 or $11 a day in coffee, and that's like, say, $15 for a sandwich at lunch. Well, and you, the average working week in Australia is something like 46 weeks a year or 48 weeks a year. So you multiply, we'll just say $30 a day just for eating out, you know, just for sandwiches and 2 coffees, you know. That's 5 days a week, times, say, 46. That's $4,600 a year, you know, in coffee and sandwiches, you know. And, you know, if you make your own, you know, you don't get the water boiling, you just get it sort of a bit too hot to stick your finger in, you know. That's odd enough, you know. Because you're only drinking it, you're not fucking... But, you know, you multiply $10, say $11 a day or whatever, times 5, that's 55 times 46... I've got sleep deprivation brain, you know. We'll just say fucking $10 and plus add a bit, you know, but that's like $460 a year in coffee. $10 a day times 5, that's 50. 50 times, you know, 50 times, we'll just say 50 weeks in a year, you know, working or whatever. 5 fives, that's $2,500 in coffee. I'm too tired to fucking, you know. So, by getting a teaspoon of milk powder, or one big heap teaspoon of milk powder, 2 small teaspoons of good instant coffee, and a bit of water and something to sweeten it with, you know. That's, you know, 60 cents a day, you know. So this is what I mean, we'll just say 60, 70 cents a day. So you go by, that's $3 a week times 50 weeks, you know, that's $150 compared to fucking, you know, $2,300. You know what I mean? You go, just go fucking tight ass, you know? Oh, it's nice. You know? And that's why, you know, it takes so little effort to make such huge cost savings, you know. It takes so little effort. Out of gear, handbrake off, or in gear, handbrake off. And that's why it's sort of like, it's really important to be, what a nice day. And that's why it's, you know, it pays to be really fucking frugal. And while I'm not exactly sort of rolling in ginormous amounts of money, and I really have to make my every fucking cent work, you know, that's how you sort of, it's like that, those stupid fucking women who go out and spend $10,000 on a fucking Armani handbag, you know, just so that they can pose with all the other gutless fucking brain dead bitches, you know, their little poser competitions, you know. And, this is why people who live frugally, you know, see, when I made this up, because I get, you know, like I've nearly had my head torn off in a motorbike crash, well, that keeps the back of my fucking head and my neck warm, which is really important. Now, I can't go and buy a fucking hat that does that, you know, unless it's, say something from fucking Russia, you know. And that's too big and too sort of bulky to be sort of very, very portable and easy to just to sort of wrap up, sort of like a handkerchief kind of thing, you know what I mean? So, across a whole range of things, that's a really fucking good idea. It keeps my head warm. Keeps my neck warm, keeps the cold wind off my fucking neck, you know. It's really easy to make. You know. And it's not just, oh my God, look how much money I saved. You know, I haven't had to go and spend $80, $90, $120 on a fucking Russian bloody winter hat, which is made for like Siberia, you know. Come birdies, stay out of the way. Magic. They're all drinking water off the side of the road and seed and all this sort of shit, so I don't want to hit them. So, so yeah, with the, what's it called? You know, that's the difference between me and some fucking bitch. Some fucking retarded bitch who has to keep propping up a bloody, you know, with a $10,000 Armani handbag, you know? You know, I'm spending, I just made that decision that, you know, the coffees at this place make are really nice. You know, fuck, they're nice, they're good. It's a good coffee, you know. But I can carry a little sort of resealable, airtight sort of little bag sort of thing, you know. And I can just measure out the portions, you know. Get a scoop and measure out one cup of, one sort of measuring cup of coffee, one of fucking, you know, what's it called? One of our, you know, milk powder, full cream milk powder. Toss the rest into the fridge, and just keep a bag that'll make me say enough for say 4 or 5, you know, one coffee there, one coffee back, and maybe, you know, you know. And that's the whole thing, you know, two coffees a day, two really good coffees a day, are costing me like fucking 50, 60 cents, you know, instead of like, you know, $11 or $12, you know. And I like being efficient, I like being tight-assed, I like being frugal, I like getting my money's worth. And fuck it, Australia's a really great place, you know, like there's a million and one amazing places just to pull over and have a cup of coffee, you know, and go, fuck, isn't this just wonderful, you know? Look at all the lovely scenery, you know? How fantastic. I mean, why do you have to go find a... Why do you have to go... In small towns, it's usually pretty easy to get a parking spot sometimes, you know? But, you know... Here we are in a kangaroo spot, where they hop and drop. Cunts. I wouldn't call kangaroos cunts of things. I just call them cunts. Right. Yeah, so I've had a major legal victory. Yeah, but back to the sort of thing, Better slow down, going into the sunshine, and the trees are dark on this side and lit up on that side, and there's a little bit of dust on the windscreen, and the little hoppy fuckers could be bloody anywhere. So yeah, you know, getting a coffee, you know, like, you don't have to pull in at a fucking cafe with a cappuccino machine, you know, espresso machine or fuck whatever, you know. You know, get some fucking decent instant coffee, a little bit of powdered milk, and heat your water up. So it's a bit too fucking hot to stick your finger in, you know, that's hot enough. That's coffee, you're not drinking boiling coffee. You know, you're not drinking boiling water and then waiting for 5 minutes for it to cool down. Save your gas, just only heat it up hot enough to fucking make it drinkable, you know. And that's like, you know what, 5 cents of fucking gas or something. So in the time I can pull up in some place with a nice lagoon, you know, or fucking picnic table or a river or some other sort of shit, you know. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? That's why I just don't like fucking stupid women. They're vain and selfish and fucking And going side to side is only a variation of fucking that, you know. So, you know, some days I do support, you know. I don't have an intrinsic fucking universal support for just fucking hitting people simply because they exist. But, you know, domestic violence, I think, fuck it, you know. If you're so fucked out of your idiot sort of head that you can't keep yourself in check, then either fucking leave or get thrown out, you know. You know, well, what is it that's so wrong with you that you can't keep your fucking trap shut? You know, when the guy is clearly fucking agitated and clearly having a hard time of it and clearly doesn't want to put up with your fucking shit, you know, because you can't keep yourself in check, you know. You know, I understand this, you know. You know? Yeah, and I ran across the fucking... Our paths crossed. There's a guy I know who is just a complete fuckwit of a father, but he was raised by a guy who's also a complete fuckwit of a human being, you know. And one day I was just out and about walking up the street or whatever, and he had a daughter about 12, you know. And yeah, and I was just coming back from a certain place and, you know, along the footpath sort of thing, you know, and this kid had a skateboard, you know, and as typical, the father was nowhere to be seen, no responsible parenting, no fucking interest in what the child was doing, you know. And I saw that this, you know, I know from riding skateboards as a kid that they're pretty good. You know, I was never a fucking brilliant rider of them. You know, I could just sort of manage going down big hills and weaving and sliding and bits and pieces. I could just sort of never get it sorted to do anything magical on them, but I could ride them. And what I also found was that when you go to take off down the hill, but you stopped and you go to start again, you know, and there's a stone under your wheel, so you go with your feet, and then the fucking skateboard shoots off from underneath you at about 2,000 miles an hour, and you go fucking backwards and smack your head on the fucking ground, you know, crunch, crack onto the asphalt, you know. And here we are, mate. Well, just pull off the fucking road here, mate, and you can pass. And you're going to show some fucking manners and get off the road too, you cunt, or I'll fucking run you over. None of this lesbian, progressive lesbian entitled driving. And so, you know, I understood that, you know, riding skateboards, that's good, but like they're inherently risky, you know, and so what I did was I saw that this kid had no protective equipment, like no knee pads or no knee, you know, proper hard little cups with foam in them, sort of knee protectors, you know, knee and elbow protectors and wrist braces and gloves, you know, and no fucking helmet, you know. And so I went up and gave this kid a bit of a pep talk saying, look, you know, I didn't sort of, you know, directly attribute that, you know, their father's a useless cunt. You know, there is a wind sock. Hello, socking wind. And so what I did was gave this kid a bit of a pep talk about getting the basics of protective gear to look after yourself and how important it is, because like you know you take a bad fall and smash your wrist up, that sort of shit can affect you for the rest of your life, you know. Or, you know, getting a good hard knock on your head, going off the fucking skateboard and going crack onto the bloody concrete gutter or something like that can really fuck your life up, you know. So I gave this kid the necessary sort of pep talk to get into this sort of stuff. And every fucking Saturday, which wasn't a school day, you know, these fucking cunts at work in this place these fucking cunts that work in this place I'll there's no cars coming for a bit, so I can chat. And that's the thing, when you're a country driver, you don't actually pull up to the white line at an intersection, because there might be someone coming round the other way that's gonna, you know, cut the corner on the assumption that no one else is coming. And so you have a fucking head on, so you sort of pull back, way back, you know, slow down and stop a fair bit from the not stop, but you come into the intersection really slow and you look for people cutting the corners and stuff. And then when it's sort of safe, then you go up to where you should be stopping and then you take your turn, you know. And fuck, I like this car. It's got really, really good big side mirrors. Yeah, and anyway, so what happened is, where these fucking cunts run their business from, every fucking Saturday, the next 11 weeks out of the following 12 fucking weeks, every time I went to a shop across the street where the checkout, you know, you're facing through the window and across the road, every fucking time I turned up there to, you know, buy a few things, you know, these cunts would send that little kid out wandering up and down to mill around at the front of the place of their business across the street every week for fucking 12 weeks. And I thought, you fucking cunts. You know, I'd do this kid a good turn, you know, so she doesn't break a fucking head open. You know, get the kid a fucking helmet so it doesn't fucking break its head open and die or some shit, you know. Because accidents happen easy, so fucking easy and so quick. And they hadn't bothered the useless fucking father and the fucking useless grandfather. No one had bothered to get this kid any protective equipment. And that's what they turned around and did to me, you know. Oh, we'll call him a... because he went and tried to help that kid, we'll now declare him to be a fucking pedophile. And then, you know, they tried that shit on. You know, and the other day, a couple of days ago, I passed this fucking arsehole of a father. And I thought, I really don't like you as a fucking human being. He's a piece of low IQ shit like his father. But anyway, you know, I just gave him enough of the evil eye to say, well, I really don't fucking like you. But I didn't want to sort of turn it into a full-on combat session in the street, you know what I mean? Fucking dirtbag. Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, me being evil as usual. Well, I'm about sort of, yeah, there's a few other things. Yeah, we're dealing with, just a sort of the scum of normality. You know, that, yeah, just those people in that place and their daughter, you know, daughter slash granddaughter, you know, fuck. Boy, oh boy, have they been bad. Bad for business, bad for fucking everything. And all they do is just fuck people around with their never-ending fucking bullshit, you know? You know, you pay them to do deliveries to the door, and then they just drop a fucking card, you know what I mean? They send you a little message saying, oh, could you please come and pick this up from the depot? No, I paid you cunts to fucking deliver it. You fucking lazy, lying cunts. So anyway, so I've had a major victory, a huge legal victory, and now it's going to get nasty. You know, pencil to paper. So yeah. Yeah, speaking of fucking stupid people in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and Narcotics Anonymous, you know, one of the good things, there's a group, an entire fucking group that I'm fighting with. Fuck this cunt's load. This cunt coming up behind me, he's got a caravan. They're loaded up to the hilt with all this sort of shit. Looks like it's fairly heavily loaded, and the four-wheel drive is sort of sinking at the back end, you know. They're sitting on 100 k's an hour. And this is not the nicest of roads. It's not bad. And there's fucking heaps of them that are heaps worse. But you think they'd be sort of sitting on about 90 or 85, you know? Yes, and that slab of pills that I took, you know, with some vitamin fucking E and D and zinc and vitamin C and a few heart medications and a few diabetes medications, you know? What I call my Macarena of celestial omnipotence or some shit, you know. One of those pills is a diuretic, which is to make you fucking piss. And it really starts to kick in about, you know, just to lower the fluid levels in the body, you know. And one of the things is, God, I just feel this huge sad. A huge wave of sadness. God. Oh God. But that kicks in about around about an hour or so after I've had that one tiny little pill. I might say drink, say, I have a litre mug at home, and that's quite good, you know. So I'll have, you know, say four of those a day of just black tea or green tea or something usually. Because coffee tends to make me psychotic when I'm tired, you know. Or irrational. Or more irrational. And where was I going? Oops. Yeah, about an hour or so after taking that diuretic, yeah, I might say, hey, drink, say, a few cups of tea, you know, over, say, 2 hours or something in for breakfast or whatever. And I have that diuretic. So I might, say, drink a litre of tea in total. And then when I go to fucking have that little diuretic, I might drink 1 litre of tea, but then I'll piss like 3 litres of water, you know. Piss like a racehorse. Oh, the ant's nest. Well, here we are. That was a good piss. And where I pulled up, it wasn't a fucking, where I was going to step out of the car, it wasn't a meat ant nest. It was sort of, unfortunately, placed in a sort of place that gets flooded. Should have turned off there, actually. There was a whole heap of wet grain laying on the ground that spilled out of the fucking somebody's truck. So it only looked like the loose sort of the fine gravel that meat ants leave across the top of their nest, you know. Oh God. Forgot to pull my bloody... Oh well. Yeah. You know what I hate? Is I hate hallucinating things. And I don't mean sort of psychotic sort of episode sort of shit. And I don't mean like dreaming with my eyes are open, while my eyes are open while I'm driving, you know. Done that before. Shit, like, you know, you'll see a car and it'll be following you for miles, and then you look in the mirror, it's there, and then you look straight back up the road, and then you look in the mirror again and it's gone. Sort of suddenly, they've sort of suddenly done an abrupt jump on the brakes and turn left here or whatever, and they just fucking disappear. But you can't. I didn't say you could. Fuck, I missed that. Wasn't a girlfriend, as in, like, you know, dating and fucking and all this sort of stuff. It was someone who was trans, and, you know, they declared themselves to be a girl, and I just, well, yeah, fine, you know, that's how you choose to see things and how you choose to live your life, I'm fine with that. But I really, really like their company, you know, as in, you know, I think we only ever met two or three times over, face to face over 2 or 3 years, but we'd ring each other every week, you know, once or twice a week, most weeks, and the conversations were brilliant, you know, and yeah, had a lot of fun, you know. But I kept remembering her voice and the way she'd enunciate things, you know, and shit stir and kind of needle, you know, and really sort of make you look at yourself a bit sometimes, you know. I miss that. I miss that. I miss that person, you know, and I miss their sort of funny ways, you know. They were here for a little while and then they just sort of got sick, you know. You know, I persuaded them to go and join ballroom dancing, you know, community groups, things that are local and good and get you out and about and you're mixing with people and having fun, you know. And ballroom dancing was really good. You know, and I don't mean the sort of formal sort of, you know, la da 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 da, you know. Just doing all sorts of dances, you know. And yeah, that was yeah. So you got this trans person, I think it was a bona fide item, you know. And yeah, you know, I didn't debate the issue, I just, that's how some people are, you know. And you know, she was she was a support worker for the drug addicted mentally ill. And in some ways I absolutely love the drug addicted mentally ill, because they're such colourful people. And their issues and the matters that are important to them can be very real. Aside from the mental illness, they can have some real fucking issues, you know. So she, and it's only people who live a complex kind of a life that are dealing with staged sort of realities that have the context, you know, they have the sort of, they have a grip on reality that's better than most normal people, you know. Like, there's a comedian called, I think his name, it's not Jasper Carrot. Oh, fuck, the memories are coming back, but he said, the joke went like this, he said, Emo Phillips, that's it. And he had this fucking comedy routine where he said that some of the toughest times in anyone's life is when you have to murder a loved one because they're the devil. You know? Oh, the fucking Leadfoots. And, I can lay that joke on a lot of different people. There was a time when I was on the first name basis of the registrars of all the courts in all the jurisdictions in Australia, you know, down in Victoria and their federal equivalents, you know. And I could lay that joke on them and they'd all get it, you know. But if you laid that joke on normal people who are neurotic and don't have any sort of real life experience, they're just sort of sheltered workshops by their retarded parents, and then they go to a retarded school and then they grow up and be retarded people working in retarded places, surrounded by other fucking retarded people, they fucking lose their mind over that, you know. What do you mean? You've had to murder a loved one. Oh my God, you know. And I think that's what I really appreciated about this person, you know, is that they lived in that level of sort of humour, you know. They got it, you know what I mean? They understood a lot of things, you know, and they had the humour to cope with it and to sort of to have that sort of an understanding, you know? Whereas a lot of people never do. La da 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 da. Yeah, so what a good day. So I've got to see a friend. Very important. And I'm just about out of fucking underwear. You know, I think I've got about three or four pairs left, and two of them have got fucking holes all through them, and the third is sort of coming apart at the seams, you know, just the fabric's got old and worn, you know. So I've got to go buy two packs, so I think I might shoot in at this place that's early. I'll shoot in a place that I've got to pick up some stuff from. Then do a couple of small item type things and then go see my friend. Then pick up the fucking other stuff on the way back, you know. You know, I've never really grieved the loss of that fucking, you know, that person, that funny, the funny tranny person. Fuck, I miss her though. The words and phrases and the way she sort of used to sort of charmingly sort of ridicule people, you know. It was in a fun way, you know what I mean? Not in a vicious way. Yeah, but that's the other thing too. With I now have sort of World War III with the entire fucking groups of fucking idiots in AA, because they are fucking idiots, you know. that everybody's being clubby and everybody's talking the same talk and everybody's saying the same things and everybody's saying, oh, he's an A. One of my old sponsors, you know, the people who sort of, you sort of team up with and they sort of go out of their way to help you, help yourself, you know. Well, I got in with some impressive people very early on in the piece. I didn't hang around with all the bloody socialites, which called Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous a bit of a social club, somewhere between, you know, crawling out of the pubs and the dealers' places and all this other sort of shit, and, you know, hitting the coffin, you know. And, yeah, old Wild Bill Hickok, you know. He was a fundamentalist Catholic, you know. So I was about 2-3 years drug-free, sober, and I got him for a sponsor for a while, you know. And yeah. And he used to proclaim things, you know. He said, you know, all these fucking people come along to the AA and they come to the meeting and they, you know, they come in and they sit down and they drink 5 or 6 cups of coffee, put 20 cents in the basket, clap their hands and say, oh, isn't AA wonderful? And they fuck off and then, you know, they come on and off for a few months and then you never see them again, you know. And there's been discussions that I've been involved with where people with 20, 25, 30 years sober and shit, you know, they talk about all these people, oh, would you be my sponsor? Would you be my sponsor? You know? And they're there and they're putting in a bit of an appearance, and that is till it comes to sort of putting pencil to paper and starting to put in the fucking hard work. Well, what are your fucking issues, you know? Doing an inventory. And, and one thing that I do is I now fucking go up against cunts in that run these online groups that go out of their way to fuck with me. Oh, you can't say that, you can't say that. Oh, you're booted, you know. So I go up against entire groups or the fucking people are doing service positions, you know, in the fucking meeting. And yeah, I fucking go up, I go up against them, you know. Because it's a fact, you know, that's not, see, these stupid cunts can't sort of distinguish between reality and what they think is right and what is actually right and wrong and what they think, you know. They can't fucking do it. So anything that's not within their tiny little bloody frame of mind that they can't process, they reject automatically and say, oh, you're a work of the devil, you know. Out you go. And it's a fact of life that, you know, right from the very start of AA in 36 or 45 or whatever, you know, you know, it was noted that, you know, of all the fucking, you know, all the records and everything that was kept, that the churn rate and the relapse rate are actually fairly fucking high, you know. And Bill Wilson wrote, you know, out of all the people that we approached, you know, that we 12-stepped into our marvellous way of life, you know, we had to go over hundreds of people just even to get a few to take the bait, you know. And what that means is, like, you know, and, you know, of all the people that were in the personal stories, say, like, out of about 15 people or 20 people of the first, you know, AA, the first 100 or whatever, and their personal stories in the back of the AA basic text, what happened was almost all of them died using, you know. And long before I ever came along, you know, 46 years ago, all the people that I knew then, you know, were relapsing, you know. I mean, there's... And, you know, they've been fucking... You know, when I got to 21 years drug-free, I just sort of said, well, where is everybody? You know? Like, you know, this doesn't have to be... You know, if you had, say, 10,000 people and they all came in, and aside from death through natural causes and, say, 5% sort of fucking up along the way every year or whatever, you'd expect by the time 20 years had gone past, you'd expect out of 10,000 people, you'd expect at least, say, 7 or 8,000 people to be sort of drug-free, like 10, 15, 20 years, you know? But they're not. They just fucking disappear. Most of them go back out using, you know? And what these stupid cunts don't get, that if you're playing fucking games with people, one of my old sponsors, Jackie Chrissy, used to say, you know, you're playing for fucking high stakes, you know, you're playing for your life. You know? Yeah, you're playing for, you know, in AA, you're playing for high stakes here, you're playing for your life. So when you get these fucking dumb cunts who are hosting, you know, chairing the Zoom fucking meetings, going, oh, you can't say that, out you go, oh, I don't like that, that's not fucking right, oh, you shouldn't be saying this, or you shouldn't be saying that, and then kicking you out, well, I go to fucking war with these clowns, you know, and, yeah, and I upset them. Why? Because I got a goddamn fucking right to, you know? You know? Because what you see is all these cunts that play these little bloody bullshit, you know? You've got to be open to everything that either works or... See, there's only three things to do. Three things to do, you know? Well, this is my threesome fucking theory, you know? There's things... People are going to show you what to do. There's people who are going to show you how to sort of idle your time or waste your time or put it on the back burner for further thought or information or revelation or whatever. And they're going to show you what not to do. So, you know, if you had 100 people, you know, if you had 100 people walk into AA today and, you know, in 3 months' time, half of them are gone. By the end of the year comes round, there's only 5 of them still left out of that 100, you know. And by the time you get to 5 years, 3 years, there's only 2 of them left. By the time you get to 5 years, there's only 1.5. And by the time you get to 10 years, there's only 1, you know. So that's out of every fucking 100. You know, and as the decades go past, like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you know, the number of people who are still sober are so astronomically fucking tiny, you know, and you start to think, well, I've kind of sort of seen it all, because I worked out a long time ago that people in recovery are just like a fucking, they're just like chess pieces on a chessboard, you know. There's only so many moves and combinations of moves that each piece can fucking make, you know. So people will start to become immensely predictable. And if you're doing fucking bullshit little head games and kicking people out of fucking meetings, you know, that's dishonest and it's wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. But when you justify the lie, you're fucked. You know, and it's simply a matter of time before they go back out using. So when they start pulling this shit on fucking people, our grandiose little clique of fucking assholes who like to pat each other on the back saying, oh, did you hear what that cunt said? We've kicked him out of the meeting 10 times. And did you see what that cunt said about, said to us in the comments? Oh, we can't have that, you know. He can't talk to us like that. Oh, fuck, if he turns up again, kick him out. Well, I've become an expert Zoomer bomber, so I just fucking come in, go bang with a comment, you know, to whoever's there, you know, and then fucking leave. And if I get out before they can kick me out, it means I can come back into that meeting two or three times a day, every day, you know, and just fucking nail them, you know. Nail the hosts or tell everybody in the meeting this is what's fucking going on and this is what your chances are of, you know, you fuck around, you're done for, you know. And yeah, they like that even less because they like to fucking play God with people's lives, and they are inscrutable shits, and they just liked everybody to be like custard and everybody say the same things and do the same things, and you know, only stand up and speak when they're asked to speak, and nobody can say anything different, and they shouldn't be saying anything we don't think they should say, and all this other fucking crap, you know. Basically it's a bunch of fucking scumbag junkies and shitheads from the streets and the gutters and dives and whorehouses and all sorts of fucking places, and they're going, oh well, you're not allowed to say that, you're not allowed to say that, oh that's offensive, you've offended fucking people, you know. Oh, people were complaining about you, blah 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 blah, you know. Well, good luck with that, you know. You know, you'll die. You'll die using your fuck. You know? Well, gentlemen, I think I'm getting into a high traffic zone. And I better turn off my phone. Alright guys, I've got to pull over here, turn this fucking device off because I've got a lot of fucking traffic and people and things to concentrate on.